But right now, before we do anything else, I want to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
Brought to you by the PGA National Resort and Spa, as we do each and every week here, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. Brought to you, as I just mentioned, by the PGA National Resort and Spa. I think you're ready for the third toughest golf course on the PGA Tour. Take one of golf's ultimate tests at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit pgaresort.com. And I'm just going to give them all to you, Peter, and you just give me your thoughts, and I'll throw in one or two here as we go along. But we've got four topics today. Nothing really, one's on the U.S. Open, but the other ones are just kind of scattered about, as I like to do, random thoughts of an evil genius here on my part. First one, Solheim Cup captain Beth Daniel is having, quote-unquote, trouble deciding between Julie Inkster and Michelle Wee as one of her potential captain's picks. Inkster has been on the last six teams, seven total, and has a stellar 14-8-5 record. Wee has never been on the team, but she's a lot younger and better looking. Your thoughts on who she should pick, if either one of them?
My thought is stop the publicity stunt. Michelle Wee has done absolutely nothing to deserve to be on the Solheim Cup. She got her tour card this year. Yes, she's a marquee player because of the way she looks and how far she can hit it and the potential that was there. Julie Inkster is a proven player, still playing well. I think last year was challenging in the U.S. Open, or one of the majors, she was up there. And Julie Inkster has got the maturity and the experience. You got to go with Julie Inkster.
I'm not going to disagree with you on this one. Listeners of the show know I really like Michelle Wee. I am hoping, almost against hope, because as the years go on and what we see on Michelle Wee is not meeting the expectations that we were led to believe she was going to be the next Tiger Woods. And that's unfair. I mean, no one's going to be the next Tiger Woods. But, in a way, we were hoping she'd be, the female version of Tiger Woods light or something. I don't know. And, she hasn't, through miscalculations of where she was playing and who she was playing against and stuff like that, I think it really derailed her early on. And now she's, I think, finally gotten it right, and she's just trying basically to grind it out on the LPGA Tour and get her game right there and then, hopefully start winning on the LPGA Tour. But I agree with you. I think this is too early to put her in a situation of a Solheim Cup, which I know it doesn't have the same cachet as a Ryder Cup or a President's Cup on the men's tour, but nonetheless, it's the women's version of that, and you want to win it. You want the U.S. to win this event. So I think throwing Michelle into that pressure cooker, not that she wouldn't perform or whatever. I don't know. She might be a real good Solheim Cup player, but to just give it to her based on nothing to this point, I think would be unfair to her, number one. And I think it would, if there is any resentment out there amongst other LPGA players, I think it would just exacerbate that. And I think they'd hate her even more because they know she's just getting on there because it'll help ratings or whatever. That's the only reason you would put Michelle Wee on this team right now. It's not based on her play. And as you mentioned, Julie Inkster's been the consummate team player in this event. 14-8-5 is Colin Montgomery-esque. And I think, she, even though she's getting up there in age, still has the capability to help this team. She'd almost be like a player coach out there. And I wouldn't mind at some point seeing Julie and Michelle sort of paired together, not for this one, but maybe the next one, assuming that Michelle's game continues to improve a little bit and she does earn her way onto the team, or at least earn her way in under serious consideration to get picked. I'd like to see Julie sort of take her under her wing, but I don't, at this stage, absolutely not. I don't think Michelle's earned this. I think it would hurt her in many more ways than help her.
The bottom line is she's shown flashes. I mean, yes, she had injuries last year, and it's taken her a while to overcome those injuries. And I suspect none of us really know how bad it really was. But this year, she's had some great rounds, but she can't finish the deal. She gets herself into position, and just like yesterday, she was within striking distance of the lead, and she goes out and shoots 75 when the leaders are shooting 66, 67, 68. You're not going to make up ground that way. It's going in the wrong direction. She's just not ready.
Completely agree with you on that one, Peter. Her worst round needs to be a 70, not 75. She needs to grind it out and figure out when her swing isn't there how to get a 70 out of it, not 75. All right, number two, The USGA is adamant about not doing, quote-unquote, lift clean in place, which the PGA Tour does, under bad weather conditions, as evidenced last week at the U.S. Open. They do not want to do lift clean in place. After last week, Peter, do you feel like they should revisit this rule, as they've done in some other? In the old days, the USGA didn't let you clean your ball on the putting green. If you had mud on it, you had to putt with that mud on the ball, and they've since changed that rule. Is this something they should look at to help speed up play and to help get rounds in?
I think you can, you know, we can go either way on this topic. What is it the USGA says? They're looking for the real test of golf. The knock on lift clean in place is it's really lift clean and cheat. But on the same note, the weather was so extreme last week that it's hard to imagine you wouldn't want these guys to hit the ball out of some dry land other than, I mean, could you get away from casual water at Bethpage Black? I mean, I couldn't see any dry spots. So I think for that tournament, an argument can be made. But overall, my feeling is that you shouldn't touch the golf ball when it's in play. And I don't like playing lift clean and cheat in local events. And I don't think the USGA should have it at the U.S. Open. It's a pure test of golf. The best golfer is supposed to win.
Look, I'm going to agree with you again on this. I'm all for, you know, things change. Circumstances change. You know, we want to try to, like you're saying, get the true champion out of these events and not have it be, you know, we had to do lift clean in place or whatever. I am a traditionalist. I'm hopeful that what's going to happen is with the advances that we're having in agronomy, I think that's the study of grass, I'm not sure, or turf, from what I'm hearing, that if they, the way they're able to deal with some of these hybrids grasses that they're able to work with, is that if they're able to leave the fairways at a certain length, they want to get them cut, you know, now they have to cut them at a much shorter length, but if they can get them a little bit higher and still have the ball sit up, you know, relatively in comparison to the first cut of rough or whatever, and take away that element of or potential of having a big glob of mud on the ball, I'm hopeful that the study of turf grasses will eliminate the need for talking about this. Now, I don't think when you're dealing with grass and dirt, at some point you're always going to have mud on your ball if the course is wet. So I don't think you're going to completely be able to eliminate that. But from what I understand, they are working on types of grasses that leaving them at certain heights will not eliminate, but greatly reduce the amount of mud that you get on the ball. So hopefully science will eliminate this discussion. But assuming it doesn't, I'm going to agree with you on this one. I understand they want to get these tournaments in, and it does take forever when the ball's flying all over the place if there is mud on it, and it there's a certain element of unfairness to it. But if you're going to go that route, then change the when you hit the ball in a divot. I've always believed that you should get a free drop, much like Jack Nicklaus, because that should be considered ground under repair if a divot hasn't been properly replaced or filled with sand or whatever you're going to do with it. That's a huge penalty. You're hitting the ball basically in the fairway and you're stuck in a divot somewhere. And to me, that's a worse situation than this is. I do want to see them continue not doing lift clean in place, but I'm hopeful that turf science will eliminate a lot of the anxiety that guys have about mud on their ball and things like that. But if you want to talk about rules, there's other rules out there that I think they could address more than this one. So I'm going to agree with you on that one, Peter.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to talk about doing lift clean in place at the U.S. Open, well, why aren't we reordering the pairings? I mean, how fair is it for the guys who had to play Thursday through sideways rain versus the guys who got the tee off Friday morning who played in perfectly sunny conditions and never got wet? I mean, I don't think Phil got wet.
Yeah, I don't think he did either. He got a whole, basically, two rounds in on Friday because of the luck of the draw. And I don't know what you can do about that either. It just seems like, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles, I guess. But for the lift clean in place, I'm still for the tradition and not doing it. All right, Peter, number three on our list of four. On ESPN Radio last week, during one of those multiple rain delays, they actually got Jack Nicklaus on the program, and he was asked, hypothetically, which, you know, you can take that for what it's worth, but he was asked if he and Tiger were using the same clubs, driving at the same distance, essentially both of them put in their primes on a golf course Would he be able to beat Tiger Woods? Nicklaus said emphatically, yes. Basically, he said, if you don't think you can beat somebody, you shouldn't be out there. So he thinks he could beat Tiger in his prime. If Jack was in his prime, they're using the same equipment. Give me your thoughts on that.
I think it would be hard, anybody would be hard-pressed to say that Jack Nicklaus couldn't beat Tiger Woods if they were the same age and in the same era with the same equipment. They both have exceptional strengths to their games. They were two of the most mentally tough players that ever played, if not the most mentally tough. You know, Tiger maybe has an edge in the short game area. Nicklaus certainly had an edge in the driving area. Irons are probably a toss-up. It'll come down to putting. And so, you know, flip a coin. If the two of them played 100 matches, I bet it'd be pretty close to 50-50.
I'm going to agree with you again, Peter. I think, you know, and again, as listeners of the show know, I love Jack Nicklaus. I love the way he comports himself on the golf course. It's a shame that he, you know, his hips and everything else sort of gave out on him. But he was still very competitive, almost into his early 60s. He had a tie for sixth at the 99 Masters, 98 Masters. I mean, that's spectacular at that age to be that able to get a top 10 in a major. Unequivocally, I'm biased. I love Jack Nicklaus, and that plays into a little bit of my dislike, for lack of a better word, of Tiger Woods. It's not that I dislike Tiger. It's just I don't want to see him beat Nicklaus. I just don't. And I know people, you know, completely are like, why? That's insane. But that's the way I am. I really respect Jack, and I wish, you know, his records would stand forever. But if somebody's going to beat him, it's going to be a guy like Tiger. Tiger's got all the aspects of the game, and probably as important or even more important, the mental aspect, the toughness, the ability to grind it out. We were just talking, I think, before the show. He was 14 shots back in this Open at one point. I know he had to rely on Ricky Barnes to collapse, which he did. But at the same time, 99% of the guys out there, when they're 14 shots back, they're mailing it in at that point. Wet conditions, it's not fun. You're dealing with the crowds and the mud and everything else. And you're just like, look, get me out of here. Tiger doesn't do that. He never mails it in. That's why he has so many cuts made and everything else. It just shows you the mental toughness he had. I think in a duel with Jack Nicklaus in their primes using the same equipment, I'm agreeing with you, but I do think Tiger has an advantage. Tiger's medium range putting is, especially under pressure when he needs it, is unparalleled. And I didn't catch a lot of Nicklaus during his prime. I was sort of 1980 and later, so he was in his 40s when I really started watching Jack. So I can't personally say what he was like watching, you know, in his 20s and 30s, how he was with those 10 to 20 foot putts. But I'll tell you, Peter, I've never seen anybody sink putts from that length, as evidenced last year at the U.S. Open, where he's making putts from all over the place under extreme pressure, than Tiger Woods. So I would give Tiger the advantage there and say he would win 52 to 48 out of 100.
You know, if the advantage is there, there's one other advantage. I don't think I've ever seen a player chip in more than I've seen Tiger Woods. I mean, it's like every major he did it at. He did it at Torrey Pines. He did it at Bethpage Black this year.
The Masters had chip in that bizarre on 16. I mean, unmakeable.
And then at the Memorial the week before, if I don't know if you saw that little skins game they did. You know, they get to the playoff on the 18th hole, and he chips it in after making a 16 footer to save par to tie it. But yeah, he's got the short game. I think he clearly would have had an advantage, but. Okay, 52-48, 53-47, somewhere in there.
Yeah, pretty close. All righty, Peter, last one for you. Talking about Tiger Woods, let's talk about his niece, Cheyenne Woods, who is a freshman, I believe, at Wake Forest. She got a sponsor's exemption into this week's LPGA Wegmans Classic and made her debut as an amateur. She missed the cut, but, you know, showed up and played okay. Here's my question for you. Tougher spot to be in life. Cheyenne competing in the same era as her much more famous uncle and dealing with all the comparisons right now that she is with Tiger Woods. Or, assuming one of Tiger's kids ends up playing golf, that expectation of playing in your father's footsteps and trying to deal with that a la Gary Nicklaus and Jack Nicklaus. What's a tougher situation to be in?
In my mind, it clearly would be being Tiger Woods' child. By that point in time, and sorry to rain on your parade, Tiger will have broken all of Jack's records. He will own the record for the most tour wins. And to grow up in that shadow, it would be a very dark and wide place to play from. Now, that being said, and for those who think Cheyenne Woods got into this, into the Wegmans based on her last name and a relationship with her uncle, you're wrong. Cheyenne Woods has a pretty good amateur record. I think she has 10 amateur wins and is an accomplished player. I don't know what her junior ranking is, but she is going to, she at least has the potential of being a force in the professional ranks down the road. And 16, 17 years from now, when Tiger's kids are full grown, who knows? Who knows what the state of the game will be then? But I certainly think that coming out as the son or the daughter of a the what at that point will likely be the greatest person to ever play the game, I think that's a much tougher road to hoe. I mean, just look at Gary Nicklaus or Jackie or any of the Nicklaus kids. You know, Gary was a great player and had almost won in at the Bell South. Had a European Tour win. I think that's a big burden to carry.
I can't disagree with you too much on this one. My only thing is, if Cheyenne Woods fancies herself as going to be a top echelon player, and I'm sure she does. You don't get into this thing to be like, I'm just going to be average and make my money and get out of it. If she is striving towards that goal to be a top five player at some point on the LPGA Tour, I actually think it might be harder competing in the same era of her uncle, who is not only in the top, he's, like you said, he's going to be the greatest player of all time. So you're constantly trying to deal with, my uncle just won another major and I'm, stumbling along here, maybe have a little bit of success, and then he does something else and completely overshadows whatever she does in her career. So in a weird way, I think it might be tougher as she gets a little bit along. I'm talking like 5-6 years from now in the game, and maybe by then Tiger's taking a little bit of a backseat, although he's only 33 now, so he's going to be competitive for the next 10 years. Realistically, he will be. So as she's hitting her stride or trying to make a name for herself on herself or her name alone, I think it's going to be really tough, especially if she has the ability to be a top player, to try to compete with that. But like you said, the only possible thing is with Tiger's kids is that his dad's going to be so far out there in outer space in terms of how good he is that they can't even, and people will realize they can't possibly compete with that. So not to say there won't be pressure on them or anything like that. There will be. But if they do take up the game, it might be so far out there that it's like, hey, if they're an average player, that's a success for them. And I don't know. Again, you're talking about speculation in 20 years from now, how Tiger's kids are going to, even if they're going to want to play golf. But I think for right now, it's much tougher for somebody like Cheyenne Woods to try to establish herself at all in terms of being a really good player with a guy out there who's her uncle who is already at that position. So we'll have to wait and see. Wow. An award-winning, I'm gonna just self-describe it or self-proclaim it as award-winning, Herb. Another award-winning edition there of the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. And as I mentioned, if you want to go challenge yourself on a golf course that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now the Honda Classic, come and play at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. What do Nicklaus, Palmer, Hagen, and Sarazen have in common? Find out when you play championship golf at PGA Resort.